Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. We've been looking at verse number 10 over the last few episodes. It says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now, in our last episode, we talked about some things related to how we are protected from this wrath to come, and how every member of the body of Christ, the moment they put their trust in the gospel message, and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, believing in that and that alone, which gives an individual their salvation, also protects that individual from the events that's identified as being the wrath to come. Now, in our last episode, we looked at how the wrath to come is specifically speaking about the events that are found in the day of the Lord, part of that 70th week of Daniel, and how the members of the body of Christ have the guarantee that they would never face that day. Now, the one thing that is not promised for any member of the body of Christ is that we do not have a promise that we're not going to suffer, because the scriptures are very clear in speaking about how the members of the body of Christ are going to experience certain things as a result of our Christian life. For example, we can go over into the book of Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 1, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul make a statement related to this idea of suffering here. And in Philippians chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse number 29. It says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." So we see that for the members of the body of Christ, it is given that we're going to experience suffering, and that suffering is going to come about for his sake. And that is a statement about what is going to happen to the members of the body of Christ today. Now, we also know that when we talk about suffering, and I want to go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, because this is one of those passages that helps us keep the perspective of suffering in mind and keeps it in that idea of that there's a limit that goes along with that idea of suffering, because the Apostle Paul is going to lay out a very important thought here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 that tells us some things related to this suffering that we're going to experience. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we're going to read here verses 17 and 18. And it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So here we have the Apostle Paul talking about the things that individuals are experiencing, and he calls it a light affliction. Now, this is the first part that really causes people to really struggle with a passage like this, because anytime somebody is going through a particular thing of suffering, it never feels like it is a light affliction at that moment. Now, once a person is out of that experience, then they can see how it could be seen to be a light affliction. But right at that moment, while somebody is going through whatever the events that suffering is going to be experienced by them, they cannot see that it is a light affliction. And all of our suffering can really be classified as being a light affliction, especially when we contrast it with what the Lord Jesus Christ experienced on the cross at Calvary. By the fact that he paid the debt for our sin, he took all of that suffering upon him so that we could receive his righteousness. Now, when we look at from that perspective, it's very easy to see how our suffering can really be seen as being a light affliction. We also know that, you know, it's a light affliction because the Apostle Paul comes and says, it's but for a moment. And that's the second thing that individuals, you know, really struggle with right at that moment, because it seems like whatever the situation is, it's never going to end. You know, I'm really, you know, going to have to, you know, deal with this for a long period of time. And here you have the Apostle Paul saying that whatever it is, it's but for a moment. Now, it's but for a moment when we put it in the context of all of eternity. Our whole life, even in the aspect of comparing our lifespan with all of eternity, our whole lifespan is but for a moment. This suffering only makes up a portion of that lifespan. So if our lifespan is nothing compared to all of eternity, even that suffering is going to be nothing compared to all of eternity, especially when we know from what the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy, where he talks about how if we suffer, we shall reign with him. That idea of our suffering leads to our ability to reign, leads to those positions of authority, and we're suffering because we are doing the things that God intends for us to do. Now, we see, let's go over to Romans chapter number 5. And in this passage, we're going to see the Apostle Paul is going to talk about how an individual gets through those events that they're experiencing. But we see that he says that there's some things that are going to have to occur as the individual is getting to that. Here we are in Romans chapter number 5. I want to start here in verse number 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And here we have the Apostle Paul talking about the things that the individual members are going to be going through. And he talks about how those tribulations, all of those things that are identified as being the sufferings that we're going to experience, how all of that, the end result of it, is that it leads to hope. And it leads to that hope because as we get through those experiences, we understand how to be able to deal with the next one that's going to occur. We understand how it is leading to us having that position of authority that we're going to have once we reach the heavenly places and we're there with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're able to understand all of those things. We also see that how the Apostle Paul is going to be talking about some things related to, you know, as we're approaching the end of this dispensation. I want to go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Because here we're going to have, you know, 2 Timothy is the Apostle Paul's last epistle that he wrote. And as he writes this epistle, and you go through it, you see how he's laying out how there's all these individuals who are going away from the things that the Apostle Paul has been teaching. And as a result of them going away, you see how there's a number of churches that are starting to fall apart. There's individuals who had ministered with him that he actually starts naming by name and saying that they've departed from him as a result of what they're doing. Now, as he lays these things out, you see that in chapter number 3, he starts talking about the things that are going to happen in the last days. And we know that the last days, as the Apostle Paul is speaking about, that's not the same time frame that we have that John's speaking about. You know, John's speaking about the things that are happening during the 70th week of Daniel. He's writing things from Israel's perspective in the book of Revelation, talking about what's going to be happening as the kingdom's going to be set up. But what you have the Apostle Paul writing here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is talking about how in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he's going to start laying out all of these different things that are going to be part of these last days. Now, as he's describing it, and individuals look at all these things, and they just describe it as this is society as a whole. And each generation just keeps pointing to this passage and saying, you know, this is why we're facing all these problems, and we're in the last days of this dispensation, and generation after generation after generation is doing this. And that's not what the Apostle Paul is making a reference to in this passage. What he's describing here is not society as a whole. He's describing what the body of Christ is going to look like. As the body of Christ starts to go away from the things that he's laid out in Romans through Philemon. As the body of Christ stops teaching the gospel message as found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. As those things occur, the body of Christ is going to start to look more and more like society as a whole. And that's how we're going to know that the last days of this dispensation are actually occurring. And we know that the Apostle Paul has the body of Christ as a whole in mind, because when you get down to verse number 10, you see how Paul starts speaking to Timothy specifically here, and he points out some very specific things that Timothy had seen. It says verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter number 3, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, again, this is one of these passages that individuals take, trying to apply to themselves and misinterpret the whole idea of what the Apostle Paul is saying. You know, they'll take this and say, you know, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So the persecution that I face is, yeah, I shared the gospel with somebody and they called me a bad name. And, you know, see, there was my persecution because I got called a bad name. or, you know, somebody that I had a relationship with before, the moment that I shared the gospel with them, they wanted nothing to do with me at that point. And because that friendship ended, well, see, there's my persecution that's going on. Now, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear what he's speaking about related to persecution, because the verse right before it, as he's speaking to Timothy, he's talking about these persecutions and afflictions which came unto him, and then he starts listing out these cities, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and this is what persecutions I endured, that he endured persecutions in these cities. Now, you can go back into the book of Acts and look at how the Apostle Paul was ministering, and you can see him ministering in these cities, and you see exactly what happened to him, and what he says is happening to him, he's calling persecutions. And what's happening to him is he's not just being called bad names. He's not just having friendships ended. He's being stoned and dragged out of the city and left for dead. That's the persecution that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to. And Paul's saying that there's going to be coming a time when those who are the members of the body of Christ are going to be suffering that level of persecution. And he's saying that it's going to be all who, it says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, there are many places around the world today that individuals would face persecution if they were doing the things that the Apostle Paul laid out. You know, places like the United States, that's not happening in 2017. That doesn't mean that at some future point in time that that's not going to happen, even in a place like the United States, which has the freedom that we have to be able to do the things that we do. And when persecution occurs, that's when you start to see individuals will either give up, as you see many people do once those things are occurring, or they're going to continue to stand for the information that's been given to them. There's no guarantee of protection from those things. The only protection that we have is from the things that are identified as being the wrath to come, which is God's wrath that's going to be poured out. Now, when we're looking at these things and talking about how the Apostle Paul says that that's what's going to be happening in those last days, he lists those things out, you also see that he gives the solution to those things as well in the very next chapter. He doesn't just leave it as, well, here's some things that are going to happen and good luck. He says, here's what's going to happen, and here's what you're going to need to do to protect yourself from these things happening. Chapter number 4 of 2 Timothy, let's start here at verse number 1. We're going to read the first 5 verses of the chapter, which are going to really lay this out of what it is that we are supposed to do. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And we see as the Apostle Paul is laying these things out, you see where he focuses everything on, because the very first thing that he says of what it is that we are supposed to do is that we're to preach the word. The word is where all of the focus needs to be. You know, the focus doesn't need to be on, you know, telling stories. The focus doesn't need to be on jokes. It doesn't need to be on, you know, just singing a bunch of songs. You know, there's a role for songs and music in the assembly, but that should not be the primary focus of an assembly. The primary focus of a local assembly is the preaching of the word. Because if the word is being preached and the word continues to be the focus, then when he starts talking about doing things out with all long suffering and doctrine, because the word has been preached, the doctrine's going to be there. And if the doctrine's there, the body of Christ is not going to go down that path that he just laid out in chapter number 3, because the members of the body of Christ are going to understand who they are. They're going to understand their justification. They're going to understand the sanctification or setting apart for service. And they're also going to understand the glorification, the hope of what's going to come. And by understanding those things, understanding this doctrine, and understanding how the doctrine works out of them, they're not going to go down the path of going away from things. They're going to continue to stand for the word of God rightly divided. They're going to continue to stand for that gospel message that's been given to the Apostle Paul. And as a result of doing that, we're not going to see the last times come during a generation that is doing all the things that God intends. You know, one of the things that we really should keep in mind is the fact that we do not want to be the generation that lets the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery end with our generation. We should be going out, teaching this message to others, that way they can teach it to individuals, keeping this message going, keeping discussing this hope, the salvation that's come for all of mankind, and how we've been delivered from the coming of God's wrath. And as we said, what that was going to be before, during our last episode, the day of the Lord, the day when God's going to be pouring out his wrath, which does not involve him actually, what we saw, what the fifth seal actually spoke about, the martyrdom of the saints, that's could never be part of the wrath of God. God's wrath is always poured out on those who are the unrighteous, those who don't deserve to have salvation because of their unrighteousness. But that's exactly why we're protected, because we have a righteousness. And we'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, which is going to define the righteousness that we have as the members of the body of Christ. And we're going to read the very last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 21, which says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us," and it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Our sin was taken and placed on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could receive his righteousness. And because we are identified as being righteous because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and the Lord Jesus Christ being in us, and when the Godhead sees us, they don't see us, it's seeing Christ in us, seeing his righteousness. That's why we are not appointed to wrath. That's why we're protected from the wrath to come. And that protection is because we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our next episode, we're actually going to start chapter number 2 of 1 Thessalonians. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to join our Sunday services live, either on Facebook or actually on YouTube live as well. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call information. And for those who weren't able to make it up to the Buffalo area, if you want to see the messages from our seminar that actually occurred yesterday, you can actually find those on YouTube Live. If you actually go onto YouTube and search for Grace Family Bible Church, you will see there'll be some messages related to justification, sanctification, and glorification, which is what we covered during our seminar yesterday. It was a great time for all those who were able to come, a great time of fellowship, a great time of, you know, teaching the Word of God, and, you know, just having that time to be around the members of the body of Christ. And so until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.